This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Phoenix didn't shoot it well. Milwaukee did. I thought both teams played hard.
Cameron Johnson head of steam right into Tucker, who dunked it, and they're going to count it and one.
They got after it defensively, and Giannis did a great job of setting the tone, being aggressive, trusting Middleton and Drew Holiday to make plays.
Here's Holiday triggering an open three, and he bags one. Giannis goes for 41 for the second straight finals game.
I'm not Michael Jordan. No, all I care about right now is getting one more.
It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. The guys have the week off. Well, Alan Hahn doesn't have the week off. Alan Hahn's never off. Alan Hahn works every day of his life. He, of course, is on KJZ, but I'm Bob Wischusen sitting in for the guys. Bart does have the week off. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the telephone number. I am here all week. What an unbelievable sports weekend. There is a massive amount of stuff to talk about, and I'll get right to it. The Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Topic number one, the NBA Finals. I've got two other topics, though, I want to hit here at the start of the show, and then we're going to get to the phones. And whichever of the three is the one that is the itch you need to scratch the most, give me a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, a series that I thought would go six, maybe seven. I was probably someone giving the Bucks more credit in this series than most because I think these two teams are more evenly matched than most. And again, I think home court advantage has been obliterated in these playoffs overall, but I think home court advantage means a lot because their fans are in the building in both of these places to both of these teams, and we've seen that so far. We've seen three double-digit wins all by the home team, and I expected to see what we saw last night, but I also didn't see anything last night that moves me off my prediction, and that is the Suns win this thing. If they don't win it in six, and they don't, I think they're going to go home and win certainly game five, even if they lose game four. I do think they will win either Game 6 or Game 7, and they'll polish off Giannis. They'll win the NBA championship, and you'll get the Chris Paul legacy narrative written. I don't agree with that. I'll get to that in a second. But what we saw last night, to me, was kind of the perfect storm. Giannis took the ball to the basket. He didn't settle. When he set guys up outside, they made all of their shots. This was the Bucks playing their style of basketball as well as they could possibly play it. I'm hoping, and I think in Game 4, we'll finally see a close game. We haven't seen one game with 5 minutes to go that was even remotely in doubt for the most part so far in this series. Yes, I know in Game 2 the Bucks made a couple of runs, got it down to a manageable number, I think from 15 down to 7, if memory serves. But there was never really a moment in Game 1 or Game 2 that I thought Milwaukee was going to win that game, either of those games, just like there was never really a moment last night where I thought that the Suns were going to come from behind and win that game. Having said all of that, this series to me, I love watching it because I love the NBA. I love basketball. It's the NBA Finals, and I want to watch it. I want to wrap my arms around it and get into it as much as I possibly can. I'm having a hard time. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. I'm having a hard time, and I'm going to watch every minute of it the rest of the way because I'll be sad when basketball's over, right? When the final game, I'm rooting for a Game 7 just because I want to see Game 7. In the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, I was rooting for Montreal. I don't care who wins, I just want the drama of a Game 7. I want the drama of this getting to Game 7. Having said that, this still feels to me like a Round 1 series back in May. Because it feels to me, and this is where I have a hard time when people talk about this being a legacy series for Chris Paul, or a legacy series for Giannis. If Giannis finally wins the championship, he'll justify those MVPs. If Chris Paul wins a championship in his first trip to the finals at 37, he will cement himself as one of the greats of all time. To me, no, on either case. This finals is the finals we have because a whole bunch of guys got hurt. And these are the two teams left standing, and I'll probably make people in Phoenix and Milwaukee angry by saying that, but this is a finals that we have because Kawhi and AD, and LeBron, and Kyrie, and James Harden, and all of these guys got hurt. If tomorrow you could wave a magic wand over the entire NBA and make all of those superstars healthy again, and then go back and start the playoffs all over again, no one would pick the Suns or the Bucks to be in the finals, right? This is kind of like a a last man standing process of elimination that we have arrived at these series with these two teams. So, yes, one of these two teams is going to win a championship. They're going to put rings on. They're going to hang a banner and have a parade, and God bless. They deserve to celebrate the championship that one of the two by default will win. But to me, they will win it by default. And I say this as a Knicks fan. Well, like as a Knicks fan back in 1994, I'm not sure how many of you are old enough to remember the early to mid-90s, but in 1994, the Knicks got back to the finals for the first time since the 70s, and I was ecstatic, right? It gave me an incredible run, the Knicks and the Rangers both that year. I mean, the Garden was the epicenter of the sports universe. Rangers win the Stanley Cup, Knicks get to the finals. But even as much as I enjoyed watching those finals as a Knicks fan, it was never lost on me that the only reason the Knicks were in the finals was because Michael Jordan was playing baseball. If Michael Jordan had been playing baseball, the Knicks wouldn't have been in the finals. That wasn't lost on me. So maybe it's an insult to the Suns and to the Bucks to say that, all right, you can tell me that when Chris Paul or Giannis wins this championship, one of the two will have a legacy-making moment. And I guess if you want to write that narrative, you can write it. I don't buy it because neither of these two guys would be in the finals if the other teams didn't lose all their players. And I don't know if that takes anything away from the finals for anyone else. It does a bit for me, but I am watching every minute of it, and I'm just rooting for some dramatic basketball, which I think we will see as this series gets older, and I do think the Suns are going to win it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So let's get to a couple of the topics from last night's game that I thought were interesting. And I want to start hearing from Giannis about why he came out of the game early. I was actually, and as the game went on and he had the performance that he had and the Bucks won going away, I forgot about it. And then talking to Jonathan Winthrop, our producer, it you know, re-triggered the question in my head that I had watching the game. 3.5 minutes into the game, all of a sudden Giannis asks out. And I was wondering why, and apparently he's got the answer here. So let's hear from Giannis. Wow, interesting. That's weird. I mean, how many times have you seen the star player in a game where you're trying to set the tone early as much as you can, 3.5 minutes into the game, say, I need a breather? It worked, though, because he had another, at least statistically speaking, historic performance. And can he get to four straight 40-point games like Michael Jordan? Well, he was asked that question as well. Here's Giannis. You know, he answers all the questions the right way. I mean, he is a really easy guy to root for. And, you know, I'm happy that he's playing as well as he's playing. I always thought that he was kind of the flawed superstar, the go-to player without the go-to move. But his go-to move last night was just collectively a philosophy of, I'm going to the basket, and I'm going to stuff it down your throat. And I think he did. He played the game last night that he needs to play, that everyone else fed off of, for Milwaukee to be at their best and for them to have a legitimate chance to win this series. Of course, for the Suns, they have to be, from a superstar standpoint, a lot better. Devin Booker knows it. Here's Devin Booker talking about his Game 3 performance. That's why it's seven games, right? I mean, Devin Booker in a one-game-off scenario could be off, and that could doom the Suns over seven games. If water finds its level, he'll at some point in the next four games be back to looking like what he looked like in Game 1 and 2. At least that would be what I would bet my money on, and I think the Suns are going to win because of it. But Monty Williams, the head coach, said this about the Game 3 loss. Yep, that's a head coach that knew it was coming because he's been around the league for a long time. He's got Chris Paul, but he also has a team relatively young around Chris Paul. I'm sure Chris Paul knew it was coming as well. But what you knew was coming last night was team gets blown out twice or loses two double-digit road games. They are coming home knowing if we lose this game at home, the series is over. They are going to come out like a physical freight train. You have to match that, and you didn't. And now, how do the Suns respond physically, intensity-wise, Game 4? And will they get Booker easier looks? Will they be a team that matches, you know, that physical element of back off Giannis? See if they can bait him into shooting some 17-footers. Because if he plays his whole game 5 feet away from the basket like he was able to last night and get eight into foul trouble, they'll win Game 4, and this will really be a series. Selfishly, as someone who loves the NBA, and I want this series to go as long as possible, I'll be rooting for that. But I think Game 4 is a toss-up. The series hinges on Game 4, whether or not we have a six or seven game series. It hinges on Game 4. But I'll be very interested to see if the Suns come out from a physical standpoint, match the Bucks. If they do that, this could be over in five. and my prediction might be wrong. I think it's Suns in six or Suns in seven. We'll see. I'm going to give the Bucks at least one more game. I think they're good enough to get one more game, especially how Giannis played last night. All right, but that being said, if you want to give me a call about the finals, certainly feel free to do so at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Two other topics I want to throw out there before we hit the phones. And again, all of these are fair game because to me, it's kind of a third over the weekend, the Yankees. If there was ever a way for a team to win a series, two out of three, on the road against a team that's 20 games over 500, that should theoretically give you a big boost of momentum going into the All-Star break that you can say, all right, maybe we're turning the corner. Maybe we're actually making progress. If there was ever a way for a team to win two out of three on the road against a really good opponent and feel like walking off the field after the third game that they got swept and they're right back to where they started before this weekend, it's the Yankees. They lost an unlosable game. And look, the ultimate deodorant is winning, right? By winning on Friday night the way that they did, by having Gerrit Cole go out there and give you his signature Yankee performance on Saturday night, and I think Aaron Boone probably giving you his signature performance as a manager on Saturday night, allowing Gerrit Cole to speak his piece and leaving him in the game and trusting your $300-plus million starter to go out and do what he did on Saturday night and come off the field feeling like you could run through a brick wall on Sunday and then to come out and theoretically blow the game open on Sunday and lose the way they did, it feels like they got swept. It feels like they're in every bit as bad a spot before the first pitch was thrown on Friday night, and they won two out of three. That's the most amazing part of it. I mean, that was the ultimate gut punch loss last night. Now, we can get into whether or not Aroldis Chapman should have been in the game. Aaron Boone had some thoughts on that. You know, before I have some more thoughts of what I think Aaron Boone should have done last night, and again, what the overall issue I think still is with the Yankees, let's hear from the Yankee manager on what his thoughts were from last night. Let's start it off just the overall on blowing a five-run ninth-inning lead the way that they did. Here's the Yankee manager. Eight of their first 10 coming out of the break are going to be against the Red Sox. Four at home, four on the road, sandwiched around two games against the Phillies. Eight of their first 10. And then they've got a series with the Rays as well. So it's like 13 of their first 15 or whatever coming out of the break are against the Red Sox and the Rays. Having won two out of three against the Astros to still feel like this. He used the word gut punch. That is 100%. That's the only way to describe what happened yesterday. Now comes the managerial question, right? Chad Green is putting the ball on a dinner plate with a five-run lead after Herman couldn't get the job done in the ninth. Where was Aroldis Chapman? Well, here is where Aaron Boone says their trust currently is in Aroldis Chapman. Well, unless you're going to have a six-run lead in the fifth inning of a game, unless you're going to wait for that specific circumstance to put Aroldis Chapman back in, where was he yesterday? Either with a five-run lead in the ninth, or once you get to the point now where Green is getting batted around the ballpark, and now you know most likely the only way you are getting out of that inning with a win is via the strikeout, who is your best option out of your bullpen to come in and strike somebody out? If it's not Aroldis Chapman, when at some point this season will it be again? But boy, I can't envision the time where you do have, you know, any confidence in him if you're not going to put him in that game last night. And are there any positives that the Yankees can take out of a road trip overall, but specifically winning two out of three in Houston, but losing the way they lost last night? Here's Aaron Boone. I guess an overall wide-angle lens look at the road trip. See, here's where I fundamentally disagree with what he said. He led that comment off with, the first thing we have to understand is we're playing well. No, you're not. You are still not. You are not producing at the plate. That sounds ridiculous, coming off a game where they scored seven runs and had a five-run lead in the ninth inning. But look at it bigger picture. They go to Seattle. They knock the Mariners around for a couple of games. Then they get shut out. They knock the Mariners around for a couple of games. Okay, that's fine. I don't care where the Yankees and Mariners are to this point in the season. The Yankees should be 15 to 20 games better than Seattle, right? talent-wise, they should be 15 to 20 games better than the Mariners. So I'm not giving them any credit for going to Seattle and all of a sudden the bats start to wake up. What happened when they got to Houston? They scored a few runs on Friday, won 4-0. They get the Nestor Cortez bullpen game and get a shutout. Saturday, they scored one run. Aaron Judge hits a home run. That's it. Where are you playing well? Aaron Judge scores the only run of the game, and you need your ace pitcher to go out there and throw 130 pitches in a complete game in order to win that game. And yesterday, yes, they scored seven runs. Take a deeper dive into the box score. They drew 14 walks in that game last night. 14 walks and scored seven runs. This Yankee lineup, on an average day, a below average day, this Yankee lineup, and a day where they get 14 walks, should score 15 runs, not 7. To me, only scoring 7 runs last night is still a bad sign. They're not playing well. And then for the bullpen to do what it did last night, and for this unthinkable statistic to now be true, right? I heard Greeny talk about this earlier. I saw it on SportsCenter earlier. Major League Baseball teams this season are 493-2 when entering the ninth inning with a 4-run lead or more. 493-2. All of baseball outside of the Yankees, 493-0. The two losses belong to the Yankees. I mean, you can't have a more demoralizing way of entering the All-Star break than they enter the All-Star break off of that kind of a loss last night. And if Aaron Boone is going to sit there with kind of pinstripe-colored glasses and say, look how well we're playing, how could on Saturday night you score one run and Sunday you've got 14 walks handed to you? Before you hit the ball, you've got 14 guys on base and you only score 7 runs. They should have scored double that last night off of 14 walks. Again, winning is the ultimate deodorant, and they should have won that game last night. If they won that game last night, probably wouldn't be saying that today. But I have a hard time believing if you come out of that game, not at least seeing that you should have generated even more offense with the 14 walks, that you're being honest about how they're hitting. I don't think they solved any of their offensive problems on this trip as much as their base running problems, their defensive problems, and now all of a sudden more bullpen problems. And the Yankees won 2 out of 3. They won 2 out of 3 in Seattle. They won 2 out of 3 in Houston. And still, it's really hard to go into the All-Star break feeling anything but demoralized. And boy, that is a tough way to now sit on this for the next 3 days. At least they don't sit on it for 4 days. At least they come out. They're the lone game being played on Thursday night. They take on the Red Sox on Thursday night. And they start the second half of the season in a solo time slot on Thursday night against Boston. The rest of baseball sits until Friday. Boy, it'd be a long 4 days if you had to sit for four. At least it's only 3. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll get to the other topic that I wanted to bring up, which was, you know, the what I thought was the most incredible sporting event that I watched this weekend and the worst possible way to end it. And we will get to some telephone calls coming up as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, coverage of the Barton Hahn Show is brought to you by Goodyear, hoping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And I'll get some telephone calls when we come back at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 after a quick word from Credit Karma. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase now, between now and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney. And sign up for free and have the chance to start winning Instant Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma, sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Some soccer thoughts in your calls when we come back. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. And Bart and Hahn, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Audio files coming up, start of the next hour, a little earlier than you normally get them here on Bart and Hahn, because Buster Olney is going to join us an hour from now. We'll talk about the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, and obviously the Yankees and what happened to them this past weekend. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We did give you that MLB weekend recap brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. And again, I did talk about it. Before we get to the telephones, want to bring up the NBA Finals, that's fine. The Yankees and MLB, that's fine. I thought the best sporting event of all of them that I watched this weekend, with the worst possible ending, was Italy and England. It was thrilling, and I'm not a soccer guy, and my opinion is going to be coming from not being a soccer guy, which of course is going to anger people that are diehard soccer fans, and I get that. But to me, I heard Greeny talk about it earlier, I 1,000% agree. I think the low-hanging fruit is that the worst possible way to end a great sporting event is the way that soccer ends their great sporting events. There's nothing worse than ending a great game the way they end it. Penalty kicks are the worst possible way that you can end what should be a celebration on that stage of that sport, drawing in someone like me. You know, if I see Manchester United playing Liverpool on a Saturday morning, I don't watch. Okay, I don't care. That's not something I'm drawn into. Just like if I see, I'm flipping through channels and I see a swimming competition, I'm not drawn into that unless it's the Olympics. Unless it's something like this. It's the World Cup. It's the championship of the Euros. Then I'm going to watch, because to me that's like if I'm not a NASCAR fan but I watch Daytona. If I'm not a golf fan but I watch the Masters. There are certain events that are going to draw you in just because of the implications of that event. You know what's hanging in the balance. You know what's going on in England and Italy and the entire continent of Europe. They are wrapped up in this. South America as well. I mean, I watched Brazil-Argentina. It was fascinating to see whether or not Messi could finally get over the top and do what he did on Saturday night, and Argentina do what they did. Having said all of that, could you imagine the Super Bowl ending on field goal kicks? Could you imagine the NBA Finals ending with a free throw contest? Or the Game 7 of the World Series being tied after nine innings and saying, let's have a home run derby. To me, that's the low-hanging fruit. That is the, you know, the obvious thing to say. What's amazing to me about the argument of how ridiculous it is to end your sporting event the way that soccer ends it is that the people that seem to defend ending it that way are the people that really love the sport. Right? I mean, the diehard soccer fans often are the ones that are saying there's no other way to end it. We can't just play an endless game and never have a goal. We have to end it this way. Well, I would say two things. Number one, if your sport is such that it could be played endlessly to the point that you have to end it in a way that has nothing to do with your sport, then that's kind of a fundamental problem with your sport. Right? Like, there's no other sport I can think of where you could play it endlessly, I guess NHL hockey. And that is a much faster-paced, harder, more demanding physical game, high-speed contact sport. They'll play endlessly in the Stanley Cup Finals until a game is scored, right? Or until a goal is scored. They're not going to a shootout. They'll do shootouts during the regular season when you have to preserve player and player health. But when the game is at its most important, they're not going to a gimmick. To me, this is a gimmick. And there's a, I guess, point two is there is a way, I think, to solve the problem without having to go all the way to the gimmick. Right? Like, why not tweak the rules and take a player or two off the field? Instead of playing 11 on 11, play 8 on 8 or 9 on 9. But at least play the version of your sport that still kind of resembles your sport without going to what they went to and what this sport goes to, which is a completely random, having nothing to do with the way your sport is played, way to end the biggest of events. So as much as I was drawn into how great the game was, and as much as it is dramatic to watch the penalty kicks at the end, to me, it is still a terrible way to end what should be the best version of your sport. End your sport by playing your sport. Somehow. This isn't that. That's just my take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get a few telephone calls before we have to take another quick timeout. And let's see, I think Glenn in Atlantic City has been the most patient. He joins us first up today on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, what's going on? I can't believe you brought up this subject. I've been saying this forever. That's exactly what I would do. But what I would do is, as time went on, you keep taking another guy off. But keep it the sport. I've been saying it for years. I can't believe you said it. Anybody who knows me knows I've been saying it. And the people who love soccer, the people that love soccer, they think I'm nuts. They think I'm crazy. I'm thinking, but keep it the sport.
Yep.
I said the same thing about the field goals and the home run derby. I said, could you imagine if we ended our sports with that?
I think the only sport that I could come up with, Glenn, thanks for the call, the only sport I can come up with that most resembles that kind of gimmicky way of ending the game is college football, right? Putting the ball on the 25-yard line and playing just in from there, rather than at least the NFL went to guaranteeing each team a possession in overtime. I know overtime can't be sometimes the exact version of the sport, but they've come up with ways at least to tweak it so that the end of football games, you finish by playing football. As much as it is gimmicky to go from the 25-yard line in college football, at least when they put the ball on the 25-yard line, they play football, right? They're playing the sport into the end zone. It's gimmicky, but it's still football. It's still first and 10 from the 25-yard line, and you're still playing the game. This is not that would be a field goal kicking contest to most resemble what they do in soccer. And again, it just, as much as I loved watching the event, it drove me nuts. Let's go to Christian in Arizona real quick here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn. Hey, Christian. Christian's got his radio on. Christian, turn the radio off. We'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Christian blew it. And let's try to squeeze in Jimmy in Nashville, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, man. How's it going?
How are you?
I was calling about the comment on the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee not being there had there not been the injury issues, and I'm going to have to disagree because Phoenix did have the second best record in the NBA coming into the playoffs.
Okay.
Also, I would like to say, you know, in both teams' defense, if you're going to be a championship team, you have to win through injuries. So I'm glad to see both of them there. And I'm saying this not as a Phoenix Suns fan. I am pulling for them at this point. But I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan. I'm from North Carolina originally.
Yep.
And so I just think that to be a championship caliber team, you, A, have to win through those injuries. And, B, I think that Phoenix is not getting the credit they deserve just due to the fact they had the second-best record in the NBA.
You know what? 100% fair. 100% fair. But anyone who was watching them play the Lakers thought they were going to lose that series the way LeBron and AD played either in Game 2 or Game 3 before they both ended up getting hurt, number one. Number two, again, if I waved a magic wand over the NBA and made all of those stars healthy and then asked you to bet an amount of money that really mattered something to you on who you thought would get to the finals, you're not picking the Suns and you're not picking the Bucks. So there's no question they deserve the credit for surviving this gauntlet, getting to where they have gotten to, and it's the NBA Finals, and I'm going to watch. But let's not act like we don't know the reason these two teams got there is because all of those superstars got hurt. No one is picking the Bucks to beat the Nets if Harden, Kyrie, and KD are all healthy and playing together. No one. I don't know if anybody would have picked them to get a game in that series. So, yes, they are in the finals. Congratulations. And I'm watching because I love the sport. But I'm also not blind to the fact as to why these two teams are there. I mean, come on. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn. Normally we'd be coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We will come right back, get more of your telephone calls in before the top of the hour. Audio files and Buster only still to come next hour here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. And your smart speaker, Italy got it done. And today is a day for doing. They did get it done. Brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. We'll get to a few other topics after the top of the hour. Team USA's stunning loss to Nigeria, getting ready for the Olympics. We'll talk about that. Audio files after the top of the hour. We'll talk to Buster Olney coming up in the next hour. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the telephone number. But right now we've got a few folks that want to kick it around, literally. And it looks like Franco is in San Jose, and he joins us next year on ESPN Radio. Hey, Franco.
Hey, so I was just calling now. I agree 100% that penalties are a brutal way to lose, but I don't think most soccer fans would agree that it's not part of the game. It's totally part of the game, and I think if you think of some big moments, right, the 1994 World Cup where Roberto Baggio shanks it over the goal,
yep,
or the 2006 World Cup final where Italy beats France.
All right, so Franco, you obviously know soccer. Let me ask you a quick question. What is different about penalties being part of the game in soccer than field goals or free throw shooting are part of the game in football and basketball? Both part of the game.
I agree it's part of the game.
There's no way anybody would want a game to end by going to field goals or free throws, like some kind of a free throw shooting contest. Part of the game, a very small part of the game, but a part of the game. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The only better way, I do, is the golden goal. And they don't do that as much anymore, but
why?
The golden goal back in the day, right? You play overtime, first one to score wins.
Yes,
the game.
Why? That now at least you're playing the sport. I'm all for that.
Agreed. I think golden goal is the best one, but I also think players revel, right? They look forward to the penalties. That's why you see big players step up in those moments. And yesterday, you see some players that didn't want to take the penalties, right? So then the players that take them and miss them, well, everyone hates them, but the reality is it's a courageous thing to do.
Oh, there's
big
drama. 100%. I am with you. There is drama. It's an amazing moment. But to me, it is so opposite what everything that I have watched up to that point is all about. Corey in Connecticut joins us next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Hey, Corey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to say I completely disagree as far as what you're comparing it to.
Okay.
Field goals, yes. Field goals are a part of the game. But with penalties, you're looking at a small part of the game, but that part is intricate within that 90 minutes of a 1 or 2 point score between things. And I think there's more skill involved and nervousness involved when it comes down to putting it at the end of the game and putting it on your shoulders.
There not be the same skill and nervousness like there would be for a field goal kicker who has to go out and kick a game-winning field goal and gets one crack at it? Or like, what am I missing? Skill, nervousness, anything asked of a player at the end of a sporting event where your whole country, you are that weight is on their shoulders, is going to need skill to complete that, you know, that task, and is going to have an immense amount, I would think, of nervousness while being asked to win the game. Why is it unique to penalties?
At the end of the day, there's two different things involved with that. That's you versus the goalie who does his research and sits there and says, you know what, we have to make sure that I know this guy and I know how that penalty is going to be shot. That's a one-on-one chess match that a lot of people don't really look into as far as head-to-head.
All right. Well, look, I understand what you're saying. Again, it kind of gets me back to the original point that I made. That's the most amazing thing about this. That I would think the people that would be angered by the way that game ended the most would be diehard soccer fans. And yet they're the ones defending it to me. That's the most amazing part of it. We'll have more calls coming up, hour number two, audio files in a moment as well. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.